Harry had left the owl's back. He was watching now as it fluttered across the room, into a chair with its back to him. There were two dark shapes on the floor beside the chair. Both of them were stirring. One was a huge snake. The other was a man, a short, balding man, a man with watery eyes and a pointed nose. He was wheezing and sobbing on the hearthrug.
"You're in luck, Wormtail,"
said a cold, high-pitched voice from the depths of the chair in which the owl had landed.
"You are very fortunate indeed. Your blunder has not ruined everything. He is dead."
"My lord!"
gasped the man on the floor.
"My lord, I am so pleased and so sorry!"
"Nagini," said the cold voice,
"you are out of luck. I will not be feeding Wormtail to you after all. But never mind, never mind. There is still Harry Potter." The snake hissed. Harry could see its tongue fluttering.
"Now, Wormtail," said the cold voice, "perhaps one more little reminder why I will not tolerate another blunder from you."
"My lord, no, I beg you."
The tip of a wand emerged from the depths of the chair. It was pointing at Wormtail.
"Crucio," said the cold voice.
Wormtail screamed as though every nerve in his body was on fire. The screaming filled Harry's ears as the scar on his forehead seared with pain. He was yelling too. Voldemort would hear him, would know he was there.
"Harry! Harry!"
Harry opened his eyes. He was lying on the floor of Professor Trelawney's room with his hands over his face. His scar was still burning so badly that his eyes were watering. The pain had been real. The whole class was standing around him, and Ron was kneeling next to him, looking terrified.
"You all right?" he said.
"Of course he isn't,"
said Professor Trelawney, looking thoroughly excited. Her great eyes loomed over Harry, gazing at him.
"What was it, Potter? A premonition? An apparition? What did you see?"
"Nothing," Harry lied. He sat up. He could feel himself shaking. He couldn't stop himself looking around into the shadows behind him. Voldemort's voice had sounded so close.
"You were clutching your scar," said Professor Trelawney. "You were rolling on the floor, clutching your scar. Come now, Potter, I have experience in these matters."
Harry looked up at her. "I need to go to the hospital wing, I think," he said. "Bad headache."
"My dear, you are undoubtedly stimulated by the extraordinary clairvoyant vibrations of my room," said Professor Trelawney. "If you leave now, you may lose the opportunity to see further than you have ever—"
"I don't want to see anything except a headache cure," said Harry. He stood up. The class backed away. They all looked unnerved. "See you later," Harry muttered to Ron, and he picked up his bag and headed for the trap door, ignoring Professor Trelawney, who was wearing an expression of great frustration, as though she had just been denied a real treat. When Harry reached the bottom of her stepladder, however, he did not set off for the hospital wing. He had no intention whatsoever of going there. Sirius had told him what to do if his scar hurt him again, and Harry was going to follow his advice. He was going straight to Dumbledore's office. He marched down the corridors, thinking about what he had seen in the dream. It had been as vivid as the one which had awoken him in Privet Drive. He ran over the details in his mind, trying to make sure he could remember them. He had heard Voldemort accusing Wormtail of making a blunder. But the owl had brought good news. The blunder had been repaired. Somebody was dead. So Wormtail was not going to be fed to the snake. He, Harry, was going to be fed to it instead. Harry had walked right past the stone gargoyle guarding the entrance to Dumbledore's office without noticing. He blinked, looked around, realized what he had done, and retraced his steps, stopping in front of it. Then he remembered that he didn't know the password. "Sherbet lemon?" he tried, tentatively. The gargoyle did not move. "Okay," said Harry, staring at it. "Pear drop. Licorice wand. Fizzing wisby.
Drupal's best blowing gum. Bertie Bott's every flavour beans. Oh, no, he doesn't like them, does he?
Oh, just open, can't you?
He said angrily. I really need to see him. It's urgent. The gargoyle remained immovable. Harry kicked it, achieving nothing but an excruciating pain in his big toe.
"Chocolate frog!" he yelled angrily, standing on one leg. "Sugar quill! Cockroach cluster!"
The gargoyle sprang to life and jumped aside. Harry blinked.
"Cockroach cluster!" he said, amazed. "I was only joking!"
He hurried through the gap in the walls and stepped onto the foot of a spiral stone staircase, which moved slowly upwards as the doors closed behind him, taking him up to a polished oak door with a brass door knocker. He could hear voices from inside the office. He stepped off the moving staircase and hesitated, listening.
"Dumbledore, I'm afraid I don't see the connection. Don't see it at all."
It was the voice of the Minister for Magic, Cornelius Fudge.
"Ludo says Bertha's perfectly capable of getting herself lost. I agree we would have expected to have found her by now, but all the same, we've no evidence of foul play, Dumbledore, none at all, as for her disappearance being linked with Barty Crouch's."
"And what do you think's happened to Barty Crouch, Minister?"
said Moody's growling voice.
"I see two possibilities, Alistair," said Fudge. "Either Crouch has finally cracked, more than likely, I'm sure you'll agree, given his personal history, lost his mind, and gone wandering off somewhere."
"He wandered extremely quickly, if that is the case, Cornelius," said Dumbledore calmly.
"Or else, Fudge sounded embarrassed. "Well, I'll reserve judgment until after I've seen the place where he was found, but you say it was just past the Beaubaton carriage? Dumbledore, you know what that woman is?"
"I consider her to be a very able headmistress and an excellent dancer," said Dumbledore quietly.
"Dumbledore, come!" said Fudge angrily. "Don't you think you might be prejudiced in her favour because of Hagrid? They don't all turn out harmless, if indeed you can call Hagrid harmless with that monster fixation he's got."
"I no more suspect Madame Maxime than Hagrid," said Dumbledore just as calmly. "I think it possible that it is you who are prejudiced, Cornelius."
"Can we wrap up this discussion?" growled Moody.
"Yes, yes, let's go down into the grounds, then," said Cornelius impatiently.
"No, it's not that," said Moody. "It's just that Potter wants a word with you, Dumbledore. He's just outside the door."